Okay, we're going to start Perek Tezayin Hilchos Ishus today. What the Rambam's going to be discussing in this Perek primarily has to do with the property that a woman brings with her into any marriage, what she's able to keep, what she's not, as well as other aspects of situations regarding ksuba. So those are the dominant things he's going to talk about in this Perek. Okay, so Halacha Aleph, he says, Hanechasim Shemachneses Isha Labayla, Bein karka, bein metaltalin, bein avadim. All right, so let's get our terminology here. So karka refers to land or property. Metaltalin are assets, movable assets. Literally, metaltalin is moving, but it means assets. And avadim, we know what avadim are. Okay, so the items, the things that a woman brings into her marriage to her husband with, whether it be property or metaltalin or avadim, af b'shehen nechtavim b'shtar ksuva, even though they're, what do you call it, they're, ainin akroin ksubel in the dunya shmam. Even though, they are, could be in the ksuba, they're not actually the ksuba, but rather they're called the dunya. Actually in the ksuba is red, but anyway, this is called the dunya. The dunya are the nechasim that a woman brings with her into a marriage. Vim kibel habal achrayas, okay? So let's say the baal, her husband, takes responsibility on the dunya alav, of the dunya, meaning the stuff she brings in. Let's say she has a piece of real estate in Manhattan, and he says, I'm going to, basically take care of it. Venasas bershuso, im pachsa pachsa lo, vimotiro hotiro lo. So once he takes, if he decides to take responsibility over the property, so then if the property goes down in value, he loses money. And if it goes up in value, he stands to gain. This is called harizu nikris nichset son barzel. This is the term nichset son barzel, which basically is referring to nedunya that the baal took over. However, vim lo kibal achrayas, okay, on the dunya alav, let's say the baal does not take responsibility, or control over the dunya, LRA here, he bershusa isha, rather it stays within her domain, im pachsa pachsa lo, vimotiro tiro lo, so it's, if it loses money, she loses money as a result, and if it gains, she gains money, harezu nikres nichse malug. Okay, this is called nichse malug. So basically, you start off with the dunya when she gets married, and then either it converts into nechset son barzal, which is where the baal is controlling it, and therefore he gets the gains and losses are given to him, or it's nechset malog, which means that she retains control over it, and profits and losses are given to her. Okay, halacha beis, v'chein kol nechasim sheish leisha, right, shelo hichnisa osam lebaila, v'lo kasva osam b'ksuva, elo nisharu lo la'atzma, and anything else that a woman owns that she didn't bring with her, so to speak, into the wedding, okay, and was never mentioned in the ksuba, okay, is considered still hers, right? O nafu lo birusha, or things that she might have gained from inheritance, acha shenisarsa, after she was had kedushin but not nisuin, o nafu lo matana, or things that might have been given to her as a gift, hakol nikran nichse malog, okay? So these are also considered nichse malog, even though they're technically not nidunya. They're still considered next day malog, shekulam b'shusahein. Why? Because they're all in her possession. They all belong to her. Vein nikra ksuva, so therefore the term ksuva itself only refers to ela ikra ksuva shehu meo masayim ima tosefes levad. So again, in halacha, the term ksuva, right, is referring to the basic value every ksuba has, which is either 100 or 200 zuz, along with anything extra that the husband promises to give her, if they get divorced, okay? So, that being the case, he says in Lacha Gimel, Kvar hu danu shechachamim tiknu ksuba lisha. So we know that the chachamim were misakin a ksuba for a woman, v'dinah tosefes k'dinah ikar, and we also know that we treat the tosefes, the additional amount that the baal promises her, is no different than the ikar, the essential value of the ksuba. V'lo tiknua legabosa kol zman shetirtzeh, so now he's getting to the mechanics of a ksuba. Even though the money, so to speak, belongs to the woman, that doesn't mean they made it in a way where she can cash in her ksuba card anytime she wants to. Okay, elari hi kichov. Rather, the ksuba is like a debt. Sheyesh lo zman, that has time. Okay, v'ena ksuba nigves el achar misas habal o im gersha. So when can she collect off the debt, or when is the debt payable? It's payable either after her husband dies or they get divorced. So basically, the ksuba is to be looked upon as a debt, and not some sort of poker chip that she can cash in anytime she wants to. Not only that, v'chein iskinu shima yalabal sados tovos raos benonios. Let's say the husband has different types of fields in terms of quality, good field, bad field, and in between. Uba isha legabos ksuvasa emena. And now it's not the woman, the wife comes to now collect the money owed to her from the ksuba. Shlo tigba elamina ra sheminachasa v'yanikris ziburis. So basically, the chachamim misakin that which what do you call it? What would she get when she let's say she comes to collect her ksuba and it's going to come from one of the fields. She doesn't get the best or the middle field. Rather, she gets the worst of the three fields. So she loses out in that sense when it comes time for her to collect the debt that's owed her on the ksuba. Halacha dalet. As well, the chenid skinu skinu the chum also misakin shekishetavo legabos ksuvasa acher mosa. So let's say she goes to collect the ksuba after her husband dies. Lo tigba, she can't do it. She's not allowed to get the money. Ache tishba benikitas chepetz. Right, she has to make a shvua. Shlo hiniach etz laklum lo machal ksuvasa lo machosa. So she must make a shvua where she basically says that one of three things. Okay, either. What do you call it? Either she there's nothing left in her possession, or she didn't sell the ksuva, or she also didn't waive, so to speak, getting paid for it. So she has to make a shvua after her husband dies in order to collect in the ksuva. V'shabon lo kol mashaleya uposen osam miksuvasa. And what do? We basically go ahead and we measure, so to speak, we estimate everything that she's wearing. Like financially, in other words, we're coming up with some type of financial valuation of everything, including what she's wearing, and we deduct that from the money that's owed to her from the ksuba. However, avam in girsha lirtsona, but let's say they went ahead and got divorced willingly, okay? Meaning he divorces her willingly. Gova below shvua, right? What we do is we collect without, she collects without making a shvua. Vein shaman ksushalea, and we don't sit there and try to evaluate, what she's worth against the ksuba. Shrei lekachan la vizachsa behen, Vurotzalotzia lohi, right? The reason why is very simple. He bought these things for her. She basically made a kinyan on them. He's the one who wants to divorce her and not the reverse. So since that's the case, that's why we're more makel, for the woman when it comes to a situation of divorce versus if her husband died. As well, halacha hey, v'cheni skinu, shlo tigba ha'almana ksuvasa elamina karka. Also, the chachamim came up with a takana that a widow, right, is only able to collect the ksuba money from property, okay? Venagova mishevach sheshachfu nechasim la'achar misabal. She's not entitled to any monetary gain that the assets or the karka produces as a result. So that's a famous area of what's called shevach hamela. She is not entitled to that. Venabonos nizonos la'achar misasavien. So too, the kids also are not able to go ahead and receive that which is owed to them, or that which is they need for sustenance after the father dies from any shevach, from any monetary gain that the property undergoes after he dies. And not only that, veina torefes b'ksuvasa mishevach sheshpiach halokeach. She also can't collect her ksuba from basically against any increase in monetary gain the property undergoes. Afapi shebalchov govas a shevach. Even if it's a situation where other people are entitled to collect the shevach. Udvarm elu mikulei ksuvahim. These are all considered to be kulas, meaning leniencies, when it comes to a ksuba. Okay? Halachavav. What are other, some of these leniencies? Vechein mikulei ksuva shetitol isha ksuvasa minapacha shematbeos. So another thing, another leniency in ksuba, again, more lenient for the husband than the wife, but another leniency in ksuba is that she always gets, monetary, currency-wise, the currency of least value. So what does that mean? Ketzad. Nasa isha b'makom v'girsha makom acher. So let's say she gets married in the U.S. and she gets divorced in Israel. Okay? Im hayu ma'os makom anisun, tobos ma'os makom v'girishin. Let's say the money, in the U.S. is worth more than the money in Israel. Okay? Israel's where she's getting divorced. America's where she got married. No salami mos makam agirishin. So he has to give her the money, the currency from the place where they're getting divorced, which is less. Vimayu maos makam agirushin tovos, maos makam anisuin. But let's say the maos in the place they got divorced is better, worth more than the currency in the place where they got married. No salami mos makam anisuin. So either way, the husband will always end up paying less currency-wise, when it comes to the ksuba. But medvar amurim, Bishahaya v'ksuvasa ma'ustam. This only works when they list inside the ksuva stam ma'us, meaning just money. Ava'im peresh ba matbea yadua, But let's say in the shtar itself, there's a specific coin mentioned that is known. Bein b'tosefes, harei k'dina malvis chavero matvei adua, shenosen lo, kama shilvo, kamo shisbar, bilchos lova. So basically, if it's clear what the type of coin was, okay, whether it's regarding to the ikker or the tosefes, at the end of the day, it's no different than when a person lends someone else a specific type of coin. That person must return that exact type, okay, when they pay back the loan. Doesn't quite work that way today, but back then there was much more specificity related to currency, and therefore there'd be an expectation in this loan that the same exact thing will be brought back. Halacha Zion, okay, tiknu ha-ga'onim b'chol yeshivos. So the ga'onim of all the yeshivas made a takana as follows. Shetia isha gova k'suvasa acharim mos bala. Okay. What did they come up with? That the woman is able to go ahead and collect the money owed her from the ksuva after her husband dies. Af mina metaltalin. So they expanded it to include even movable assets. Kederach she'eskinu l'ba'achol l'gavas mina metaltalin. Just like they did that for someone who's owed a debt. So the ga'onim came along and expanded what the chacham initially had said. Upashta takana zubro v'yisrael. And this takana became spread around to all the Jewish people. V'chein shar tanai ksuva. Kulon k'ksuva hein. Not only that, what else did they do? All the other tanaim, all the other conditions that are placed in the ksuva are considered the same thing, are treated the same way as that which is, as the ikar ksuva itself. V'yeshnam v'metatlin k'karka. And therefore, they apply both to metatlin, movable property, as well as movable assets, as well as property. Chutz miksoves binyan decharin shalom matsanu minag yurushasa pasha b'chol yeshivos. The only exception is the right of her sons to go ahead and inherit her ksuba. And this minag was not really accepted, among all the yeshivas. Okay. Lefikach, ani omer. So therefore the Rambam says, ma'midin osal din Talmud. We should follow what the Gemara says. She'ein yorshin ksuvas iman elamina karka. So he thinks it's safer to stick with what the Gemara says, which is that you're not yoresh, you're only yoresh, you do not yoresh the ksuva, except for the karka. The only thing you get from your mother will be property, but you wouldn't get assets. Halacha ches, now kvar nagu b'chol makomos, so the minogs be common everywhere we know, u'sheshamanu shema'an sheyichtivu gesuva, okay? So it's already been a minog that started, that what's included in the ksuva, beimi karkai, beimi tatale. So both assets and both land and movable assets are included in the ksuva. The davar tikkun gadol hu, and this is a great, unbelievable, great thing. V'anashim dolim u'nevonim inhigu davar zeh, and men of great wisdom were the ones who came up with this. Sherei zeh t'nai shem mamon, because this is considered a condition in a monetary area. V'nimtzeis ha'almana gova min metatlim t'nai zeh lo b'takanas achronim. And that's why, for example, a widow is able to go ahead and collect the money owed to her from metatlin, okay, because of this very thing that the chacham came up with, and not because of what of later takanos. So ultimately what he's saying is that this was a good takana. Okay, halacha tes. Harei shelo kasav kach bishtar ksuva ela nasa stam. All right, so what's the case? Let's say this stipulation, this tanai, was not included in the ksuva, and they just stam got married. Im haya yodea b'takana zu shel ga'onim gova. Let's say, this is a very interesting halacha, let's say he knows that the takana the ga'onim made, which is that a woman's able to collect from mitatlin, if they got divorced, they love osh nistapik lano davar. But let's say he's not aware or is besafek misyashvim v'davar zeharbe. So we have to really think about what to do with this guy. She ain't koach v'takanas gaonim ladumba, because there's no power in the customs of the gaonim to go ahead and make someone do this, so to speak, and have the financial incentive one way or the other. Af mishlo nisparsha kedin tnai ksuva sheim takanas hanedron gadola ad shenotzi ba mamu min yoshim. Rather, what he's saying is that since it's not explicitly written in there, we treat it as the regular ksuba, and we treat the ksuba differently because ksuba is actually takanas sanhedrin gadola, meaning that there's a difference between mina ga'onim, which he's been talking about in these halachas, which doesn't carry the same weight as a takana made by sanhedrin gadola. Their takanas are actual what we would call derabanas. Not only that, halacha yud. The ode tiknu chachamim shiu kol nichse habal achrayin varvayin leksuva. And not only that, they basically worked out that all the property, all the belongings the Baal has are responsible to her and are considered to be arvoin l'ksuva. Basically means like a lien against the ksuba. Afilu ksuvas, meaning she can collect off his property if they got divorced. Afilu ksuvasam mana, veisho karka b'alpayim zuhuvim. Okay, even if, the ksuba's only 100 zuz, right, but he's got $1 billion in property, okay, doesn't matter. V'chol shimkor achar nisuim and nechasav, and any time the husband goes ahead and sells any nechasim after they get married, afabi shemimachro kayim, right, v'yesho limkor kol nechasav, im yirtze yeshlo litruf osam ksuvasa, kishikar shena, o kishemos, im lo timsa nechasim nechorim. So basically, what's the halacha? Halacha is that anytime, what it called, he can sell anything he wants to, and she can't do anything about it. Now, ultimately, he could sell everything, okay? Now, if the property he sells, okay, she's able to, if she wants to, track down the guy he sold to, okay, if, assuming they get divorced, and find out what exactly he had given him. Meaning, she's able to collect what's owed to her from a third party that the husband dealt with. Ugisha titrov, right, when she does go ahead and take the property, lo titrov el b'shvuas tekiyas achefetz, kenin kol ba'ali chobos, v'takanezu kenin shlo tiyek suvasa kalav enav. So basically, she goes ahead and takes a shvua, to what it, like you would in any situation of a debt. And this takana is really there so that we don't treat ksuva, in an unserious way.